Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I just want to thank you for the wonderful opportunity of filling in for you tonight. But even more than that, you did it, my friend. You did it. Your incredible novel, Abuse of Power, is now skyrocketing, climbing up the New York Times bestseller list. You have shocked the liberal establishment. You have shocked many in this country. You have shocked those that sought to ban you in Britain and marginalize you. And now with this novel, my prediction is this. I believe you have now created a new cultural icon in American fiction. I believe Jack Hatfield, the main character, the protagonist in Abuse of Power, will be to American literature and American film what Jack Ryan was for Tom Clancy, what James Bond was for Ian Fleming. And I can't wait to see these people in Hollywood, many of whom have sought to demonize you over the years, come knocking on your door on their hands and knees, begging for you to give them a script so they can put together a blockbuster film. Michael, you did it, my friend. I wish you all the success in the world, even more success, and let's hopefully not only have it be number four, but let's have it go all the way to number one. For all of you out there, go to michaelsavage.com for the latest must-read sizzling stories you cannot find anywhere else. And what is the major issue of the day? What is it that we hear from the nation's capital, where I'm speaking to you from tonight, Washington, D.C., the belly of the beast? What is it that now consumes the nation's attention? It is the Occupy Wall Street movement. My friends, as Michael Savage has constantly warned, the enemy within is now striking back. The Soros Empire is now striking back. In New York, in L.A., in Denver, in Chicago, and now in Washington and soon in Philadelphia, the Occupy Wall Street movement, a group of 21st century hippies, anarchists, communists, Marxists, are now calling for a war upon the banks, for a war upon capitalism, and for a war upon large corporations. And I was asked by the executive producer, Beowulf, before we got on the air, have I seen any of these protesters here in Washington? And I have. On my way down, I saw them with their placards and their cheap slogans and their down with Wall Street and down with capitalism and soak the rich. And I see them with their long, stringy hair, many of them obviously on drugs. And what have we witnessed over the last couple of days? Traffic in New York on the Brooklyn Bridge was stopped. McDonald's franchises, Starbucks franchises have been looted, their windows smashed, private property destroyed. And what did we hear from these protesters? Did we hear anything cogent? Did we hear anything coherent? Did we hear anything that had a semblance or connection with reality? No. We got pure, unequivocal, raw class hatred. Down with the banks. Down with the capitalists. Down with large corporations. down with the greedy fat cats. All of these people that we now see flying the red flag or flying the black flag of anarchism, we saw them 10 years ago during the WTO demonstrations. And they are part of Obama's army. They are funded by MoveOn.org. Van Jones, the former Obama Green Czar, has been urging them to protest and to riot. Their big financier is George Soros. My friends, it's obvious what's going on here. Obama's supporters are now putting everything they have into a mass communist movement to try to sow political chaos and division. Van Jones, a key Obama appointee, MoveOn.org, they backed Obama before anybody else did. Soros, the puppet master of the puppet Obama. And what is it that they chant on those streets? Listen to the hatred. Here are these protesters in their own words. Make banks pay. They want to soak the bankers. They're calling for transaction fees. They want to take a huge cut of everything the banks make. They want to funnel hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, into more social programs. They want to spend more on Medicare, more on Medicaid, more on Social Security, more on welfare, more on food stamps. So what do you think is going to happen if we soak the banks and we soak the corporations and we soak the rich as Obama wants and as these street thugs want? They're going to leave. They don't have to stay in America. They can go to London. They can go to Hong Kong. They can go to Shanghai. I'll tell you this, the communists in Beijing, they may talk like Marxists, but they act like capitalists. They'll take their money. You don't hear this anymore in Beijing. You don't hear this anymore in Moscow. You don't even hear this in Havana anymore. But you hear it here in America, in New York, in Washington, in LA, in Chicago. This is a communist uprising. And you want to talk about how stupid some of our Hollywood celebrities are, how treasonous they are, how frankly hateful they are? You have Michael Moore. This guy with his movies that he actually sues because he doesn't get enough profits out of them. But no, he's not part of the rich. He may have made millions, but he's not part of the rich. He's calling people on Wall Street kleptomaniacs. Really? What about you, Michael? Tell me, when you're out there suing people for Fahrenheit 9/11 because they didn't give you enough millions of dollars, you're not a kleptomaniac. Why don't you give your money away, Michael? But there he is shooting his mouth off. And the most vile of all, that washed up Hollywood has-been, that fat lady who never had much talent with her silly reality TV show, Roseanne Barr. Oh, that's a name from the past. If you can't succeed anymore on television and your reality TV show busts and you're fat, ugly and stupid, what do? Well, there you support the protesters. That's a way to get your name out. I want you to listen to these clips. They should send a chill down everybody's spine. Look how she calls for the return of the guillotine, for bankers and the wealthy to be beheaded like they were in the French Revolution, like they were under Soviet Russia, under Stalin, where middle-class people, farmers, peasants, were murdered and their wealth confiscated. Look how she calls for them to be sent into re-education camps. Look at this Marxist-Leninist thug that Roseanne Barr is cheering these Occupy Wall Streeters. Boys, roll the clips.
I do say that I am for the return of the guillotine, and that is for the worst of the worst of the guilty. I first would allow the guilty bankers to pay, you know, the ability to pay back anything over $100 million personal wealth, because I believe in a maximum wage of $100 million. And if they're unable to live on that amount, then they should, you know, go to the re-education camps, and if that doesn't help, then be beheaded.
That's what they did in Pol Pot's Cambodia. if you didn't toe the regime's line. Literally, they sent you to a re-education camp, and if you weren't quite brainwashed the right way, then they beheaded you. And in fact, they killed so many Cambodians, 2 million of them, it was called the killing fields. When a New York Times journalist went into the Khmer Rouge-occupied Cambodia, he literally saw skulls everywhere that he went. This is what Roseanne Barr wants for America. And my question to her is a very simple one. Who made you God? Who suddenly decreed that you can tell us how much is enough? What, we're 100 million? That's the cutoff? Why? Because you say so? Tell me, Roseanne. You want 100 million to be the cutoff? Why don't you say that about George Soros? Why don't you say that about Jeffrey Immelt at GE? Why don't you say that about George Kaiser, the big financier, the billionaire that backed Solyndra and has made millions off the American taxpayer? Oh, no. How about your Hollywood friends? Tell me, how about Steven Spielberg? Huh? Should he be capped at 100 million? Oh, no. Not for your Hollywood friends. Not for your leftist billionaires. No. It's just for Wall Street. It's for the investors and the business creators and the job creators. My friends, what we are witnessing here is nothing more than a manufactured communist uprising here in America. Why? To divert and distract attention from the real source of our problems, and that is Obama, and that is his economic failures and his inept governance. You can blame the banks all you want. You can blame big business all you want. In the end, our recession, our economic woes, our skyrocketing deficits, the fact that we've lost our AAA credit rating, the fact that we're on the verge of national bankruptcy has nothing to do with Wall Street. It has everything to do with that con man in the White House. And now he has sent his shock troops, his revolutionary army, to try to sow dissent in America, to distract and divert you from the real enemy of the American people, and that's Barack Hussein Obama. And my question to you is a simple one, members of the Savage Nation. What have you seen in these protests that you believe are incendiary or inflammatory? Have you seen anything? Have you watched anything on television or seen in person? Anything that you believe shows that this is a fifth column movement that hates America and wants to subvert us from within. 1-800-449-8255. What do you think of the Occupy Wall Street movement? This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. My friends, we have a dramatic news flash. We're going to continue, obviously, to talk about the Occupy Wall Street movement, but it is now splashed all over the Drudge Report. It is official. Sarah Palin will not, I repeat, will not be running for president in 2012. So all of you out there, the big Sarah Palin fans that thought she was the one who would come in here, defeat Romney, defeat Perry, defeat Herman Cain, and take the fight to Obama, she has decided to step aside, pursue a lucrative media career, continue to play a very unique role in the Republican Party and the conservative movement, speak out on issues. And I have to tell you, I'm not surprised. Over the last couple of weeks, that was the sense that I was getting from her entourage, from her inner circle, what they were telling me. She just doesn't want to put her family under the... She doesn't want to be raked over the coals. She thinks that it's best for her family, for her, not to enter the political arena, but to stay essentially as a media superstar and as somebody who plays more of a commentary maverick role within the Republican Party. So let's open it up to a double barrel question. Do you believe the Occupy Wall Street movement is a communist plot to subvert America from within? but also now with this news break, what do you make of the fact that Sarah Palin has decided to not run for the Republican nomination in 2012? Are you disappointed? Are you happy? Do you now think the GOP field is strong enough to challenge Obama? I want to hear from you. First, let's play a very quick clip that we have about anti-Semitism in the Occupy Wall Street movement. When we come back, we'll have that and so much more here on the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Sarah Palin will not, I repeat, will not be running for the presidency in 2012. It is now official. It is all over the Drudge Report. But the main issue of the day, we can talk about that certainly, but the main issue, without question, here in Washington, but across the nation, the Occupy Wall Street movement is now gaining steam. New York, L.A., Chicago, Denver, tomorrow it will be Philadelphia, now the nation's capital. Communists, Marxists, anarchists, socialists, they are now marching on the streets, demanding a war on banks, corporations, and American capitalism. But what the mainstream media, what Roseanne Barr, what the supporters in the liberal left elite, what the likes of Michael Moore will not tell you is that the underbelly of this movement, the dark side of this movement, is a powerful strain of anti-Semitism, of Jew-baiting, of Jew-hating. Like in Soviet Russia, like in Hitler's Germany, like anywhere else where leftist movements have come to power, the hatred of capitalism is always tied with the hatred of Jews, the money changers in anti-Semitic parlance, in anti-Semitic mythology. Even here in Washington, you see some placards about the Jewish moneyed interests, the Jewish moneyed power that supposedly runs Wall Street and runs America and runs the world. That is the kind of anti-Semitism that you see in MoveOn.org, that you see on the Daily Kos, that you see in the academic left, and that you even see within George Soros himself, despite the fact that he's Jewish, despite the fact that his family suffered under the Holocaust. He is a self-hating Jew who despises Israel, despises the Jewish state, despises Jewish culture, and it's no surprise he's bankrolling this movement. And if you think I'm exaggerating the anti-Semitism, the Jew hatred, listen to this clip that we have right here on the Savage Nation. Boys, roll it.
$7 an hour?
Go get a job.
I got a job, Mo. I do have a job. You're a bum, Jew. I'm a Jew. Why are you fighting with us? You got the money. That's why you're fighting, Jewish man.
Yeah, you Jewish man. You got the money. That's why you're fighting us, man. You Jew. That's why, man. This is the kind of thugs. This is the kind of anti-Semitic hatred the kind of vile that you see among these street protesters. Now I ask you, is there anything noble about this? Anything good about this? Anything decent about this? This is like Hitler's brown shirts in Nazi Germany. All that's missing are the goose steppers. That's all that's missing. The destruction of private property, the hatred of capitalism, the hatred of democracy, the hatred of Jews, the hatred of the Jewish bankers, the hatred of the Jewish capitalists, the Jewish corporations. It's right out of Mein Kampf. And these are the ones that Obama is putting on the streets to create chaos and mayhem, to distract you from what is really going on, that Obama is destroying America piece by piece. What do you make of the Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street movement? I want to hear from you. Pat in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Steph. I really appreciate the work you do. I do read your articles online. What this represents to me as a lifetime New Yorker who's seen many a demonstration and even participated in a few is the initiative. It's a strategic of a very failed but devious presidency. Van Jones talked about an October surprise. Well, that's the language of Trotsky from 1917. I don't see any difference. The unions are heavily involved in this movement. A lot of the people right now that are down there are just scattered and probably easily manipulated. But I think, you know, to use a phrase, the heavier guns are going to be coming in. And that's the union people, the SEIU workers. This has all been orchestrated over a number of months, and it's only
Pat, you nailed it, and it's only going to get worse. What they now see, and this is why this is deliberate, this is being manipulated by the White House, this is being manipulated by the power brokers behind Obama, is they now see that their man in the White House, their Lenin, is falling in the polls like a stone. The economy is unraveling. We are losing in Iraq, losing in Afghanistan. The Islamists have come to power in Libya. The Islamists have come to power in Egypt or on the verge of coming to power in Egypt. This man has been an absolute disaster. And it is exactly what Saul Alinsky taught in his book, Rules for Radicals. This is the mentor of Obama. What did Saul Alinsky say? Demonize the banks, demonize the rich, demonize corporations, play class warfare, pit the classes against one another, interest groups against one another, races against one another. Why? Because that creates maximum chaos, maximum turbulence, maximum circumstances for a revolution to take place, and then send the thugs, the activists on the streets. It's no accident that MoveOn.org is behind this. It's no accident now that Big Labor, the biggest supporter of Obama, is now getting involved. You are going to see them all coming out of the woodwork. And you talk about the communist himself, Van Jones? This is a self-described communist who calls for a communist revolution in America. And what did he say? This is what he said. This is the Van Jones who called for an October offensive. In his own words, boys, roll clip 12.
I think everybody should hold on to your seats. October is going to be the turning point when it comes to the progressive fight back. You can see it coming. Look, we got to do something to raise taxes and to do better by America.
There you go. He even said it himself. He's the guy that's been sending the emails. He's the guy that's been organizing everything. He's got ties to the SEIU. He's got ties to the labor movement, to the public sector unions. He's being funded by Soros. He's in bed with MoveOn.org. October is the turning point, the October Revolution of 1917. Now it's the October Revolution of 2011. And so what they're going to say is this. We know that if we can demonize the banks, because, hey, most Americans don't like banks. Who likes banks? I don't like banks. We need banks. But who's the fan of the banker? So don't blame the president. Don't blame the Democrats. Don't blame his failed leftist policies. Go after the banks. This is now the ploy being used by the communists. And so what we now have is an insurrection. And now the only question is, over the next couple of weeks, will the mayors of Washington, New York, L.A., Chicago, Denver, of all the big cities, have the guts to send the police on the street and disperse these movements? Are they going to take it to these thugs? Or are we going to surrender the streets as the people of London did a couple of weeks ago with those riots? That's the only question, because this is going to get a hell of a lot worse before it gets better. Tim in Mississippi, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. First of all, I got a lot to say, so I'm going to talk fast. If I need to slow down, let me know. A lot of the responsibility for what's going on right now is on your industry, not the Washington Times, not the Washington Examiner. I have respect for both of them. This was put forth to the public in March of this year. A jerk named Stephen Lerner, who is a thug for the SEIU, he was on video in a private meeting talking about this very thing, occupying Wall Street. He's an SEIU thug, Andy Stern president. If we can't use the power of persuasion, we use the persuasion of power. There is little doubt. They had this plan for the second week in August. One of the conservative TV radio hosts got wind of it, aired it, and then all of a sudden it kind of got postponed just a little bit. But the bottom line is, and he was in Seattle last Tuesday, I believe it was. This clip is also on the net, talking about creating chaos around the country. This is Stephen Lerner. Now, there's no question that it is communist-backed, it is socialist-backed, it's Marxist, the anarchist, everything.
Tim, here's what I think is happening. Look, here's what's happening, and there's no question about it. This is now George Soros' big play. He put Obama in the White House. He has showered billions of dollars into destroying the American dollar. That's been his plan from the get-go, to break America's back, to break our economy, to break our military. You have Obama, who has driven up inflation. They're printing so much money now, they've destroyed the greenback. They have now spent so much money, this country's on the verge of bankruptcy. We're going the way of Italy or Greece. We're now at 9% unemployment. We're going to go up to 10, 11, or 12. That's inevitable now. So we now know America is flat on its back. We are reeling on every front. That's just a fact. It's not pleasant to say. I know many of you don't want to hear it, but those are the facts. And so now, Soros, because the Republicans are gathering steam. I know Sarah Palin pulled out today, but I'm telling you, Romney will crush Obama. Perry will crush Obama. Herman Cain will crush Obama. Almost any of the top-tier Republican candidates will wipe the floor with Obama. So what do you have to do? Create a political crisis. You have an economic crisis, then you create a political crisis. It's what the Marxists have always done. They did it in Russia. They did it in Cuba. They did it in China. And they're now doing it here. And so these are the shock troops of Obama's army and ultimately of Soros' army. He is the guy that's pulling the strings. He is the guy that's now saying, I want them marching on the streets. I want them smashing windows. I want them attacking Jews. I want them now to block traffic. I want them to create so much bedlam, so much mayhem, so much chaos that it's going to paralyze America. And what is Obama going to do? I mean, this is the thing about Obama. They blocked the Brooklyn Bridge, for God's sakes, over the weekend. What did he say? Did he condemn these thugs? Did he condemn these vermin on the street? No. In fact, what did he say? I sympathize with them. I sympathize with their cause. Who's been bashing the banks? Who's been bashing the rich? Who's been bashing jet owners and corporations and millionaires and billionaires? It's Obama. He laid the groundwork for this movement. Let's quickly take one more call. Let's go. Larry in Sacramento. Sorry, having some technical problems. Larry, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, yes, Mr. Cooter. We're into a nightmare that I've been through before. Many years ago, an Air Force general I served under told me we're going to lose our country. And I thought he cracked up. Then the Vietnam War started. And I noticed the peace movement Well, you remember when the cities were burning. Well, I had some friends with the FBI under Hoover, who was the greatest man that I had ever had any contact with. I've sat down with members of the Communist Party, and they told me, one generation, and we've got you. And they meant it. So this is something, but this time we've got people like Mr. Savage and Mr. Cooner that are going to wake us up, because they're not going to take this country.
They're not. They're not. But you nailed it, Larry. This has been 40 years in the making. In the 60s, the radical left took over the campuses, and they marched on the streets. And slowly, this was their slogan, the long march through the institutions. Capture the universities. Capture the media. Capture aspects of corporations. Capture the public schools. Capture the political system. And eventually they said the state will fall into our hands like a ripe fruit. Now their man is in the White House. They were on the cusp of a socialist revolution. They thought they had it all. And then came the Tea Party. And they believe this is their anti-Tea Party. But what they don't understand is we outnumber them 10 to 1. We love this country more than they hate it. And they can try to take it away from us, but we won't let them. 1-800-449-8255. What have you seen from the Occupy Wall Street movement? Have you seen anything dangerous? Personally, anything incendiary? Do you think this is a communist plot to subvert America? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Members of the Savage Nation, even members of Congress are supporting the Occupy Wall Street movement. Listen to leftist Democrat, Congresswoman Jackie Speier, comparing it to, guess what, the Arab Spring. Boys,
this Occupy Wall Street movement that's going on, is this sort of a liberal antidote to the Tea Party?
Well, I think we're taking a page from the Arab Spring in some respects. I think all Americans are deeply disturbed that Wall Street got off.
Wow. Taking a page from the Arab Spring? The Arab Spring that gave us the Muslim Brotherhood? The Arab Spring that has allowed Islamists to take over Libya? The Arab Spring that has unleashed anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, anti-American, anti-capitalist impulses all across the Muslim world? My friends, they're even telling you to your face. This movement is about hating America and hating Jews. It's about time we woke up and took on this communist threat head on. Even members of Congress are now backing it. That's how degenerate the Democratic Party has become. Let's go to Ian in Modesto. Ian, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Listen, I'm not a liberal and I'm not a radical or a communist or anything like that. I just want to tell you that I think you've got slightly the wrong end of the stick. In terms of whenever things go out of kilter, like out of balance, you're going to have problems in whatever walk of life you're in. Now, the problem that we've got with this situation is that there is a huge problem with the redistribution of wealth in this country. Not necessarily redistribution, but the way it's not filtering down. We always used to work on the trickle-down effects, and even
Ian, what are you talking about? We have transferred trillions of dollars to the poor over the last 40 years. Not billions, trillions. 10% of this country pays 70% of the taxes. 50% of Americans don't pay any federal tax. What are you talking to me about? You know what these people should do? Get a job. I see them. They're a bunch of spoiled middle-class children. They, instead of going to college, they're partying on the streets. Many of them have parents, both of whom are working. They're saying, oh, I may not have a job when I get out of college. I've interviewed them. Well, study harder. Go get a job. Flip some burgers for a while. I flipped burgers. It's not the end of the world. It's not 90% unemployment. It's 9% unemployment. So this justifies calling for the overthrow of our government? for the overthrow of capitalism, for destroying windows and attacking Starbucks and calling for the confiscation of private property and demonizing Jews? That's what it is now? 9% unemployment and suddenly we start rioting? Suddenly now it's like Hitler's brown shirts? Because what? We have to redistribute wealth? I'm tired of that. Why do I have to put money in their pocket? Let me ask you this, Ian. I've worked hard my whole life. Why do I have to put money in your pocket?
I'm not saying that you have to put money in anybody's pocket.
Well, that's redistribution of wealth. So you don't even know what you're talking about. You're exactly like those protesters on the streets. Wine, wine, wine. But behind it, there's nothing except hatred for those that have succeeded in this country. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off tonight. My buddy, if you're listening, I just want to thank you for filling in for you tonight. You speak to the heartland. You speak to the real America, the eternal America, the historic America. And buddy, I just want to congratulate you. Go onto michaelsavage.com. I know he's got a big novel out. It's skyrocketing. It is just shooting up the charts. It is a New York Times bestseller. But if you go down to the right-hand corner, you will see another very important story. Michael Savage, the Savage Nation, is now the number two radio talk show on the internet, just behind Rush Limbaugh. The ratings keep getting bigger. Your popularity keeps getting higher. Your influence continues to grow, Michael. You're like a fine wine. You just seem to be getting better and better with age. And, buddy, I just can't thank you enough, and I can't congratulate you enough. You are now number two behind Rush on the internet. And who knows? If you continue at this pace, you could easily be number one. We will continue to talk about the Occupy Wall Street movement. We're going to take some calls on that. But my friends, there's another major story. It has just been broken. It is just developing over the last 45 minutes. I alluded to it earlier. Sarah Palin, the vice presidential candidate under John McCain in 2008, a Tea Party favorite, somebody that many conservatives were looking to as the best hope to defeat Barack Obama in 2012, has now issued a statement formally saying that she will not, I repeat, not be a presidential candidate in 2012. It is now obvious that Palin is putting her media career, her lucrative speaking engagements, her book contracts before another political career. She now understands that running for the White House would put her and her family under the microscope. It would open her up and her family to more media attacks, more media invective, become the poster boy or poster girl for the far left to demonize, smear, and slander. And so she has now closed the door on 2012. What does this mean? What this means is that now the mantle of the Tea Party movement is up for grabs. Mitt Romney is now the man to beat among the establishment. Establishment Republicans, moderate Republicans, the big money people believe Romney is a safe bet. Romney is the most credible candidate, they believe, to beat Obama. Rick Perry and Herman Cain are now vying for who will become the champion of the Tea Party movement. The GOP field is now basically in place. And one of those candidates will win the nomination and eventually, I believe, win the presidency. And here is what I think is going to happen. Now the fight begins between Cain and Perry. Because if Perry and Cain divide the Tea Party vote, as is currently happening, this will enable Romney to sneak up the middle. He will win New Hampshire. He will win some of the key Midwestern states. And he will eventually win the nomination in a 50-state strategy and a 50-state campaign. What's going to happen over the next month or two is, can Perry deliver a knockout blow against Cain, or can Cain deliver a knockout blow against Perry? Both have pluses and minuses. Both have pros and cons. Perry, I believe, is better on the life issue. Perry is better on social conservative issues like abortion and gay marriage and gays in the military. Cain, however, is to me the black Barry Goldwater. He is a passionate economic conservative who speaks from the heart. He is a non-politician. He is a successful CEO and businessman and a former talk show host. He has lit up the grassroots like almost no one I've seen in my lifetime. And just like Barry Goldwater launched the conservative movement in 1964, championing small government, low taxes, and individual freedom, this is what Cain is championing right now. He is wrapping himself in the mantle of Barry Goldwater and, to some extent, Ronald Reagan. And he presents a stark contrast, especially to African Americans, to what Obama's socialism has brought to them and to the United States. If Cain can pull ahead of Mitt Romney a fight for the nomination, Perry, however, has just raised $17 million. He has a war chest, and he will take it to Cain. My friends, we have a wide open field. But what is Obama seeing? He now looks at the latest polls. Generic Republican, 47%. Barack Obama, 41%. Any Republican can beat Obama now, according to the latest polls. He is sinking like a stone. His presidency is evaporating into thin air. It is now there for any Republican to take. And now the question is there somebody in that field who will pick up the mantle of Reagan that now lies in the gutter and unite social, economic, and national security conservatives into a winning coalition and take America back? Because my members of the Savage Nation, I have news for you. The con man in chief is now attempting one last con. He is now attempting one last swindle of the American people. As he goes around the country, raising what he wants to be $1 billion so that he can secure re-election, he is waging class warfare. He is calling for closing loopholes on the wealthy. He wants to soak the rich with new tax increases. And guess who he's citing as his political model? Is it Lenin? Is it FDR? Is it Lyndon Johnson? No, it's Ronald Reagan. Obama is saying, I'm not a socialist. Reagan raised taxes. Reagan closed tax loopholes. Reagan wanted the wealthy to pay their fair share. Reagan was a liberal, just like me. I want the independent vote. I want to regain the middle American vote. So forget the fact that I'm a socialist. Forget the fact that I'm the most radical president in U.S. history. No, no, no. I'm the Ronald Reagan 2.0. I am a resurrected Reagan. I'm a black Ronald Reagan. Here is Obama in his own words, wrapping himself in the banner of Reagan. Boys, roll clip 22.
26 years ago, another president said that some of these tax loopholes, and I quote, made it possible for millionaires to pay nothing while a bus driver was paying 10% of his salary, and that's crazy. It's time we stopped it. That was 26 years ago. You know the name of that president? Ronald Reagan. So was that class warfare?
Was that class warfare? And so then he goes on to say, no, people have a short memory. Nobody accused Reagan of being a socialist or a class warrior. Boys, roll clip 23.
I know a lot of folks have short memories, but I don't remember Republicans accusing Ronald Reagan of being a socialist or engaging in class warfare because he thought that everybody should do their fair share.
Yeah.
And things have just gotten out of whack.
Yeah, they've gotten out of whack. Look how he lies with a straight face. It is literally Orwellian. He is inverting reality. White has become black, and black has become white. Reagan was a socialist. Reagan was a class warrior. Reagan raised taxes. Reagan soaked the rich. When in fact it was the very opposite. Reagan cut taxes across the board, marginal rates for everybody. Capital gains taxes went down. Dividend taxes went down. Income taxes went down. Yes, Reagan made deals with Congress sometimes to raise taxes in exchange for spending cuts. The spending cuts never came. Reagan later confessed, I was burned by Congress. I was lied to by the Democrats. But over his 8 years in office, taxes overall went down. No, this man in the White House is the very opposite. He wants to soak billionaires and millionaires. He doesn't want real tax reform. He wants to go after everybody that makes over $250,000 or $200,000. Let me ask you this. Since when did $200,000 become rich? My friends, this man is a big government socialist. And now he's trying to present himself as Reagan. He is the anti-Reagan. And my question to you is this. How do you feel about Sarah Palin stepping down, not wanting to run in 2012? And which Republican out there you believe truly encapsulates Reagan's message? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. This is one of the chants at one of the rallies by the Occupy Wall Street movement, the communist rabble that is now demonstrating across the country. They say, the anti-Tea Party movement. They hate America. They hate capitalism. They hate the banks. I never thought I would see the day that brown shirts, communist revolutionaries, anarchists, would now be running wild on the streets of America with their man in the White House. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Dave in Kansas City. Dave, you're on the Savage Nation.
The reason those people are out there is because we now live in a corporatocracy. GE pays no taxes and you don't see corporate greed everywhere. I hate Obama. I can't stand him. But that's what's going on. Ronald Reagan's trickle-down is not working.
What trickle-down? Reagan hasn't been in... Reagan is dead. Dave, I have news for you. Reagan is dead. He hasn't been in power for over 20 years. What trickle down? What are you talking to me?
Why don't you let somebody else talk? His trickle down's still with us. It's not working.
What trickle down? Obama has raised taxes. What are you talking to me about? He hasn't cut taxes. And this thing about trickle down. You know, Dave, this is the greatest propaganda I've ever heard in my life. Do you know that the poor under Reagan, you know what they paid in taxes? Zero. Nothing. The middle class got a big tax cut. Everybody got a big tax cut. It's easy to rail against the rich. But let me ask you this. Who creates the jobs? Oh, you don't like corporations. Well, what about Bill Gates? What about Microsoft? No jobs there? What about General Motors? What about Ford? What about, I can name you one corporation after another, Boeing. I can run down the list. They create tens of millions of jobs. But no, we have to demonize the rich. And this is the heart of the sickness of the left. It goes against the very, very biblical principles that are in the Ten Commandments. Thou shall not covet thy neighbor's goods. Why do you hate somebody who succeeded on his own? Why do you hate somebody for creating a good service or product that Americans and people want? So, yes, they've made money. Why not? They take the risks. They have a right to make their own money. So you want to punish wealth? You want to punish the corporations? You want to punish the banks? You want to punish business? They did that in Soviet Russia. They did that in communist Cuba. They did that in North Korea. What do you think happens? Everybody gets poor. Everybody gets decimated. Oh, you want to try socialist Western Europe? Let me ask you this. You don't like 9% unemployment there, Dave? Why don't you try 20 in Spain? Why don't you try 15 in Germany? Why don't you try 15 in France? It's easy to demonize the rich. But you like it or not, it's the rich that create the wealth. It's the rich that create the jobs. So you can stand there and hate Reagan till the cows come home. The fact of the matter is this. Under Ronald Reagan, America had the greatest economic expansion in history. He built up our military to the point that we destroyed the Soviet Union without a bullet being shot. He was the greatest president of the 20th century. And I compare him to Obama. I compare him to these leftists on the street who couldn't even run a lemonade stand. Many of them spoiled kids from middle class homes who spent all their time getting stoned all day on marijuana or snorting meth. And you're going to stand here and lecture me that the problem are corporations? No, the problem is government. The problem are bureaucrats. The problems are leftists and liberals who have destroyed the West, who have destroyed America, and pretty soon they will bankrupt this country until we say enough is enough. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. We can talk about the protesters on the streets. We can talk about Sarah Palin, who has now said she will not run for the presidency in 2012. What do you make of this? Is this a communist plot? Do you think there's anybody outside of Palin who can beat Obama? We'll talk about this and so much more right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Here you have the brown shirts, Obama's fascist brown shirts on the streets of Washington, New York, L.A., Chicago, Denver. It's going to spread to Albuquerque, Philadelphia, cities all across the country. They are on the march. The revolutionary left is now on the march. And when I listen to these people calling for bankers to be smashed, for corporations to be nationalized, for profits to be confiscated, when you have the likes of Roseanne Barr calling for the guillotine, calling for bankers to be sent to re-education camps, and if they're not properly indoctrinated and won't give up their profits, to be beheaded. That is the language of Hitler. That is the language of Stalin. That is the language of Mao. And this is what is slowly happening to America. We have a socialist Marxist in the White House. And backed by George Soros, backed by Van Jones, backed by the labor unions, backed by MoveOn.org, they now want to occupy the streets of America. As one of those chants said it, our streets, our streets, our streets. My friends, the left is waging war on this country. And now that Obama's socialist revolution has been blunted by the 2010 November elections, by the Tea Party, by conservative talk radio, by people like you and members of the Savage Nation, now they're going to take extra legal means, extra constitutional means. Now they take it to the streets. Like Saul Alinsky said in his book, you then have to sow chaos. You now have to sow division, dissension, misery. You have to now so demoralize the establishment that eventually you take over the entire power structure. This is what's happening right in front of our eyes. And so my question to you is a very simple one. Sarah Palin is now out of the race. She's now officially said she will not run in 2012. Is there a Republican out there in the current GOP field that you believe has the guts, the courage, the capability to not only defeat Obama, but to stand up to the socialist Marxist thugs that are behind him and that we can now see on the streets of our country? 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to our jammed phone lines. Mark in Las Vegas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, well, in brief, the answer to the immediate question is Ron Paul. He's the only 30-year constitutionalist. But going backward a little, Sarah Palin is a good mention because she co-opted Ron Paul's Tea Party of 07, similar to what's going on here with Occupy Wall Street. It's not homogeneous. There's a lot of end the Federal Reserve supporters in this movement, which is very rational. I mean, the Federal Reserve debasing our currency, monetizing our debt. So don't belittle that faction that's out there. It's not all a socialist.
No, no, you're right. It's no, it's only 99%. No, no, you're right. Because, I mean, look, let me be very candid with you, Mark. I agree with Ron Paul and the Federal Reserve. In fact, I was arguing this years ago before Ron Paul got his message out in the public. It is an unaccountable, secretive, out-of-control institution that is slowly destroying the value of our dollar. It is driving inflation through the roof. It is bankrupting this country. So I have no love for the Federal Reserve, but I'm out on the streets. I'm not some talk show host who just flaps his mouth from a studio. I've been to these protests. And I'm telling you, yeah, I see one or two placards and the Fed. I'll tell you what I see most of most. It's soak the banks, destroy Wall Street, destroy capitalism, confiscate private property. Are you in favor of that? Do you believe now we should have a complete socialist takeover of America? Is this now what Ron Paul stands for?
Oh, sure. Right. Of course not. But now, are you in favor of how the banks operate in a non-free market environment where they're always bailed out by the Federal Reserve, indirectly the taxpayer, but the Federal Reserve in name? For example, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, recently Goldman Sachs is the biggest contributor to the Super Committee in Congress.
Mark, I have criticized Goldman Sachs years ago. In fact, I opposed TARP. Michael Savage and I were one of the few conservative nationalists that opposed the bailout of the banks, that opposed TARP, that opposed all of the stimulus and all of the government handouts, including to big business and including to the banks. I'm no shill for the banks. I believe that you should rise or fall on your own merits. Nothing or nobody is too big to fail. I have said that from day one. But my friend, we need banks. I don't want them politically connected. I don't want them to be bailed out when they make bad decisions. But we need banks. That's how you generate capital. That's how you give out loans. That's how you create businesses and drive investment. Banks are not bad. Banks are necessary to a wealthy, prosperous, modern economy and society. What you're seeing on the streets, they're not calling for the reform of the banks. They're not like Ron Paul saying, hey, you know what? End the Fed, end the corruption, end the cronyism. They're out there with the hammer and sickle. They're out there with the black anarchist flag. They're talking about the guillotine. They're talking about beheading bankers, beheading CEOs, beheading businessmen, taking their property, taking their money, confiscating their wealth, confiscating their profits. This is straight out of Lenin. This is straight out of Marx and Engels. So this is the problem that I have with many Ron Paul supporters. On some issues, there's no difference between them and the radical left, whether it's being sympathetic to these protesters, whether it's the legalization of drugs, which to me is absolutely insane. Most of these people on the streets are on drugs. I can tell you that right now. I can take one look at them. They're stoned out of their mind. I can smell the marijuana on the streets. I don't understand why the cops aren't busting them just for that. I see drug pushers among them. So only drug addicts could, in the wealthiest society in the world, can go on the streets, destroy windows, hold up traffic, threaten bystanders, people who are walking by, and rail against the greatest economic system in the history of the world. I'll tell you this, a lot of them drive cars. A lot of them have parents with two incomes. They come from beautiful suburban homes. So they have their DVDs. They have their Blackberries. I see them with their designer jeans and their $200 sneakers. They don't have that in North Korea. They don't have that in, they didn't have that in Soviet Russia. They don't even have that in current day China. And they want to destroy capitalism. They want to destroy private property. They want to destroy corporate America. These people are insane. They're immature. They're buffoons. They're juveniles. I listen to them talk. They're utterly. I ask them, what do you want to replace capitalism with? Fairness. What? What do you mean by fairness? Social justice. Well, what do you mean by social justice? Hey, man, we just want to go down with the system, man. Too many people making too much money here, man. Where's my money, man? Go out and get a job, you loser. Go and study. Get off the drugs. Stop frying your brains on that stuff. Get an education. Get a job. Do something with your life. Since when did people become entitled to get things? This is, to me, unbelievable. You work hard. You risk your capital. You create a business. And if you succeed, you should reap the rewards of your labor. And if not, you should go under. That's the American way. And let me be very clear about this. I don't make $200,000. I make less than $200,000. But my wife and I combined make just over $200,000. Under Obama, he wants to soak us. Now, I ask you this, and I'm being very candid now. Do you know how many nights I didn't sleep when I was working on my PhD? Do you know how many hours I had to put into the office to get my raises? Do you know how many weekends I worked? Do you know how many all-nighters I did? Do you know how much time I sacrificed away from my wife, away from my family, to get where I am today, to be a successful journalist and pundit in Washington, D.C., and my wife to lead a think tank? Now, I ask you, why should I give my money to these welfare degenerates on the streets? Since when do they have a right to take money from my pocket? I earned it legitimately. I earned it through the sweat of my brow. I didn't stand there and ask for a handout. I didn't get stoned. I didn't do drugs. I didn't stand there and have children out of wedlock. I didn't stand there and whine and complain and ask for the government to give me something. This is the entitlement mentality, the socialist mentality that is destroying this country. And it's about time somebody said, enough is enough. Go home, you spoiled brats. Let's go to Jonathan in Aberdeen, Washington. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Jeff. I wanted to say, Sarah Palin announcing that she's not running for president really didn't change my plans as far as who I was going to vote for. I wouldn't have voted for her for one reason and one reason alone: her resignation from the Alaskan governorship. That was, I thought that was ill. If she wants to run for president, she'd be labeled as a quitter, and I think she'd probably go down in a week or two under intense media scrutiny.
Jonathan, I can tell you this with absolute confidence. People in the Palin camp have told me if she could do it over again, she probably would not have stepped down. The label of quitter has hounded her everywhere she went, and it wasn't just from liberals. They were looking at the poll numbers. Yes, she has an intense base of support. People who love her really love her. But she looked at the numbers, and it was almost impossible for her to defeat both Herman Cain, Ron Paul, and Rick Perry in one shot. She just couldn't do it. And so saying, will I bloody myself through a prolonged nomination process, which will put me and my family under immense scrutiny in a nomination fight I may not even be able to win? Or will I just stand back, continue to be a pundit on Fox News, continue to speak around the country, continue to play a unique role in the Republican Party, crank out one book after another, and make several million dollars? Now, the obvious choice to me is, if you want to look out for your family, if you want to do what's best for you financially, it's no contest. And so she basically said, no mas. Enough is enough. And so she basically said no, and she's now stepping down. And so I think she made the right decision. I don't think she would have won. I think she would have lost. It would have damaged her credibility and her prestige in the conservative movement and within the Republican Party. Now she's going to be a power broker for years to come. But let me tell all of you something else on the Savage Nation, and I want you to mark the date. If Romney wins, or if Perry wins, if one of these top-tier candidates win, you're not going to see the last of Sarah Palin. I think she's going to be offered the post of energy secretary. She knows natural gas. She knows oil. She knows energy. And if she was offered the post, I think she would take it, build up more executive experience, and you may see her run in 2016 or 2020. You heard it here first. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Members of the Savage Nation, there is another news flash. This is a very sad story. Apple has just confirmed that former CEO Steve Jobs has died. Former Apple CEO Steve Jobs is dead. He battled pancreatic cancer, and it looks like the cancer finally won. And what I find to me very interesting about Steve Jobs is that he was a brilliant entrepreneur. And I look at these protesters on the streets, all of these communists, socialists, rabble-rousers, fascists, demonizing capitalism, demonizing corporations, demonizing businessmen. But if you notice, what are they using? iPhones, iPads, iPods, the very technology that this entrepreneur, this corporate leader, this businessman, Steve Jobs, helped to create. And this is my point. It is because of men like Steve Jobs that we have technology that has improved our lives, improved our standard of living. To be perfectly candid, it enables us to even do this show. It has uplifted all of us, changed our lives for the better. You think government made the iPhone? You think government made the iPad? You think a bureaucrat made the iPod? It was an entrepreneur. It was Steve Jobs. With his creativity, his innovation, his drive, his vision. And yes, he made hundreds of millions of dollars. Yes, that's exactly the genius of capitalism. You reward talent. You reward initiative. You reward imagination and brilliance and hard work. And so the profit motive has uplifted all of us. It has revolutionized our lives. It has improved it, ennobled it significantly. And these idiots on the streets who are calling for capitalism to go down, to soak the rich, had they had their way, there would have been no Steve Jobs. There would have been no Apple. There would have been no iPhones and iPads and iPods and everything that they're using right now to even organize their protests. That they help, that they listen to music to, that puts them to bed at night. That they can see their friends getting stoned on. Everything else that they do. This is how backward, ignorant, historically and socially illiterate and stupid they are. So what is the lesson of Steve Jobs? He was a great American, like Bill Gates, like Thomas Edison, like Rockefeller, like Carnegie, like Ford, like many of the great financial titans that made America the richest, wealthiest, most successful country in the history of the world. The genius of capitalism is that it's not centrally planned. The genius of capitalism is that it understands that you, me, the people, have enough talent, capacity, intelligence, initiative to create things, to build things, to create a better society. And this is what our founding fathers understood. This is why they championed small government. This is why they believed in the free market. This is why they believed in personal responsibility. You get government out of the way. And they said, we will build the richest country in the history of the world. And now within 3 years, with that socialist in the White House, we have gone from one of the wealthiest to now a second-tier country. Can you imagine this? We have lost our AAA credit rating. The United States of America now is like Greece, is like Italy. We have such high debt and deficits that we are on the verge of national bankruptcy. Corporations are leaving. Businesses are leaving. Investors are fleeing. Our dollar has been destroyed. Our borders are undefended. We can no longer even win our wars. This is what this man in the White House has brought us to the brink of economic collapse. 9% unemployment. You look at underemployment, we're at 17%. In the black community, he keeps saying he's the first black president. Okay, what's the unemployment rate in the black community? For the youth, 35%. My friends, we are living in the Obama depression. Steve Jobs showed us the way to prosperity. And if we follow entrepreneurial capitalism, my friends, we will be the greatest country in the world once again. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, my buddy, I just want to thank you once again for the honor and opportunity of filling in for you tonight. To all of you out there, go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest And today is really a breaking news day. Sarah Palin has announced officially in a statement she will not be running for the Republican presidential nomination in 2012. Sarah will not run for the presidency. Steve Jobs, the former CEO of Apple, the man who was pivotal in inventing the iPhone, the iPad, and the iPod, has died. Apple has just confirmed it. And with all of this going on, there is a tale of two women. Amanda Knox, an American exchange student in Italy, several days ago, had her conviction overturned by an Italian high court. Amanda Knox, initially several years ago, along with her then Italian boyfriend, were convicted of murdering her British roommate, and now she is allowed to walk free. And what I think is remarkable here is that here you had Amanda Knox, where the evidence, at least to me from looking at it, seemed quite powerful, quite overwhelming, that she was guilty, that she and her Italian boyfriend planned the murder of Amanda, 10 years of age, had her throat slit, and she was found in a pool of blood. And yet, the liberal leftist media, because they found her attractive, because she had blue eyes, because they found her sympathetic, because she was an American rotting in an Italian jail, took her up like a cause célèbre. They took her up as if she was now a new massive celebrity. The cause of the day. And they held her up as some kind of a martyr. And they went on a campaign on her behalf. But if you notice, there was clearly an undertone of racism, because there was a third person convicted. Not as glamorous, not as sexy, not as telegenic as Amanda Knox. And that's an African man, 24 years of age, from the Ivory Coast. To put it crudely, a black man. He is still sitting in jail for having helped commit that crime, for being an accessory to that crime. No one pleaded his case. The media didn't take up his case. But when it came to Amanda Knox, oh-ho, oh-ho, CNN, MSLFBC, The New York Times, you name it, The Washington Post, you would think this is Joan of Arc that was freed from prison, the way they're celebrating the overturning of her conviction. And yet, if you look at the evidence, it is, to me, clear and overwhelming, almost irrefutable, she got away with bloody murder. A couple nights ago, I said to my wife, honey, tonight the devil is dancing. Tonight the devil is dancing. Because she killed that woman, in my humble opinion. And so did her sexy Italian boyfriend. And they stood there crying, and they did their melodrama, their soap opera act, how she was the victim of sloppy police work. Yes, it's Italy. You don't think there's sloppy police work? It's Italy, for God's sakes. Everything is sloppy. The politics is sloppy. You can't even try ordering a cappuccino in Rome. My wife has been to Rome countless times. It takes you half an hour to get a cappuccino. And they give you an espresso when you ask for a cappuccino. They're Italians, for God's sakes. I married into a family of Italians. I know what I'm talking about here. It's chaos and disorganization at every turn. Great people. I love them. Don't get me wrong. I'm an Italianophile. Love their food, love their culture. But organization, that's not one of their strong suits. So yes, there was sloppy police work. But that doesn't obviate the facts. And the facts are that you have people who clearly understood that Amanda Knox planned that murder. They were having kinky sex, and something went wrong. There was a threesome going on, and something went wrong. It was a, let's put it this way, it got a little out of hand. And so now these two shysters got away with murder. And there's a second woman that the media has been fawning over. And again, it has to do with racism. But the flip side of it, which is guilt, on the one hand, condemn the black man. Hold up the attractive white woman. Hold up the sexy Italian lover, Rudy Valentino. But when it to let her get away with almost bloody murder. Figuratively. Judicial Watch asked for a Freedom of Information request on Michelle Obama's latest trip to Africa from June 21 to June 27. She took her two daughters, Sasha and Malaya, her niece, her nephew, her mother, in total 21 staff members. The flights alone cost $500,000. That's just for the flights. There are military planes that could have been used in Afghanistan or Iraq or any other place we have troops deployed. Instead, they were there to fly the First Lady and her entire entourage. And to justify the two daughters coming, did they mark daughter one, daughter two? No. Sasha and Malaya flew as, quote, senior staff. Senior staff. Since when now did the daughters become advisors to Michelle? What? To advise her on what to say to Nelson Mandela when she met him in South Africa? To advise her on how to promote democracy and how they should tell people in Botswana how they should be eating more and eating better? Talk about a waste of taxpayer dollars. Our military resources wasted as our boys are dying in Iraq and Afghanistan. And this is not counting lodging, food, Secret Service, security. And you think this was a state trip? This is, to me, what is remarkable. They were off partying. There they are in South Africa at a private game preserve on a big safari, looking at tigers, looking at lions, looking at elephants. This was a vacation paid for by American taxpayers, by you and by me. You think the liberal media would criticize that? She's like Marie Antoinette. She's like Ferdinand Marcos. Up to now, she is the most lavish first lady we have ever witnessed. She has spent over $10 million on trips and vacations. $10 million. Shoes, designer dresses, fancy outings. In 2009, one date alone to New York on their private jet, the Obamas, Barack and Michelle, for a dinner and a Broadway show, $11,000. This is like the Roman Empire. This is like Caligula. There's no limit with these people. Can you imagine if Laura Bush flew to South Africa and Botswana and brought the two Bush girls? And the niece and the nephew, and filed it as senior staff, and the mother, and her best friends, and her hairstylist, and her makeup artist. Michelle brought everybody on that trip. The only one that didn't come was the masseuse. That's it. And the maid. But that's okay. They take care of you pretty good in South Africa and Botswana if you're a high dignitary. Can you imagine the outrage from the liberal and the leftists in the press about Bush squandering money? About Bush behaving like some imperial despot, some imperial dictator. So here you have Amanda Knox, who the liberal media give a pass, even though she most likely committed murder. And forget about the black man who's sitting and rotting in jail. And then you have the media giving a free pass to Michelle Obama because she's an African American, because they don't want to insult her. Because she went to South Africa and Botswana. Why? Because according to her, her and Barack have a special tie to Africa because Obama's father came from Kenya. I don't care. You love Africa so much? Go to Africa on your own dime. You want to party it up? Do it on your own dime. You love Kenya? Go to Kenya on your own dime. Go to South Africa on your own dime. I don't care what you do, but don't do it on our dime. This, to me, is behavior reminiscent of what you see in the Kremlin. This is what Putin does with his wife, his mistresses, his entourage. They just fly around the world and build a taxpayer. Meals, drinks, cigars, designer clothes, designer shoes, you name it. And it's not just South Africa and Botswana. It's Spain. It's Turks and Caicos. It's Hawaii. It's the Canary Islands. It's France. It's Paris. There's no end with this woman. So my question to her is a simple one. Do you love your country now, Michelle? Because I'll tell you this, they're forking over a hell of a lot of money for you and your kids and you and your family to have a good time in South Africa. And so my question to you is a simple one, especially to the women out there. Do you believe Amanda Knox got away with murder, or was justice served? And why is the Liberal Press Corps reluctant to criticize Michelle for her excessive travel and her excessive spending? Is she the Marie Antoinette of our time? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. Jim in Texas on line 5. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Jim.
Hello, how you doing? I wanted to make a commentary and thank you for a very balanced approach to radio broadcasting. I've read your articles before, and I didn't recognize you until I listened to your announcement earlier.
Thanks, Jim.
You're really doing a balanced job, and if you don't have a radio broadcast, you should consider it. Just very briefly, the earlier discussion, which I was unable to get into on socialism, while I understand some of your points and where most people think Obama's taken us, I'm an independent, and quite frankly, I'm having a tough time embracing some of the theories, but that's just an opinion. I tend to believe that he is trying to make change. And as an independent, I'll tell you, I'm a little disappointed in terms of what I'm seeing with the GOP. I believe Mitt Romney is, for some of the very reasons you brought up, Mitt Romney is going to be wiped out because of the split in the base. Sarah Palin is certainly out. I don't see Perry as a formidable candidate. And Mr. Kane, while I admire some of his approaches to running the country, I just think he's out in left field. Now, with regard to Amanda Knox, and I know you wanted females to call in, but I agree 100% with your theory, with your position and opinion, 100%. This reminds me of the Casey case as well. She got away with murder. I don't know where this country's going in terms of our justice system, but...
Jim, listen, look, this was in Italy. This wasn't in America. But no, the point is the media. In both cases, the media, they celebrated Casey Anthony. They celebrated Amanda Knox. This is, to me, what is remarkable. We now have women murderers running around rampant in America and in the world. To me, it's unbelievable. And I got to tell you this. I saw this trend when I was in high school in the 1980s. It was the gender roles are being mixed up. Nobody wants to talk about it. But to me, it's as clear as light as day. I saw guys, this is mid-80s. Okay, I was 16, 17 then. There were guys I was going to in high school. You remember Boy George? When he came out from Britain and he dressed like a girl and he wore makeup and was all controversial at the time. He was basically acting like a semi-transvestite. I had guys around me who were dressing up like women. They were dressing up like Boy George. And they thought this was cute. They thought this was sexy. They thought this was cool. And then I saw women who kept brawling in the cafeteria. They wore leather jackets. They were in part, they were in gangs. To me, gangs were always a male domain. And they're killing each other in the cafeteria. They're knifing each other. They're beating each other. They're taking chairs to one another. And I remember even one of my teachers said, what's going on? Women are acting like a man and men are acting like women. And so here you have Casey Anthony, white trash, who got away with bloody murder. And have you noticed the media always rely or focus on the criminals? They glorify and deify the criminals. What about little Casey Anthony? What about that little girl? Where's her lawyer? Where are her advocates? She's dead. Nobody gives a damn about her. Oh, Casey Anthony now. Big media deal. Big movie deal. Big TV deal. Yes, I know she's temporarily locked up. She's in an asylum. But she's going to make out like a bandit. Amanda Knox. They're already talking about a big payday for her to go on one of these reality chat shows. My friends, this country is going insane. We are rewarding criminal behavior and we are punishing innocent victims. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. If you go to the top of michaelsavage.com, you will see exactly what I'm talking about regarding the Amanda Knox story. Here in the New York Times, we find out that the Knox family, along with a lot of their friends in the Seattle area, hired a high-profile public relations firm to deliberately lobby and help create a fuzzy, likable media image for Amanda Knox. They were there to manipulate the media every step of the way. And if you noticed, when she gave her 10-minute mea culpa on the stand, she almost never once mentioned Kircher. She never once spoke about the suffering that that woman went through and that her family went through. And as she was let off free, what the media didn't focus on, oh, they loved Amanda Knox. They loved her hair. They loved her eyes. They loved her looks. They loved the story. A hometown girl makes it back to Seattle. She's been freed from the vindictive, manipulative Italians. But what about the Kircher family? Her mother was there. Her sister was there, in tears, crying. Where's justice for their daughter? It was her daughter that was slaughtered. And it's not just Meredith Kircher that's dead. Her mother and her sister and her family, their lives will be shattered and destroyed forever. Where's justice for them? And so now Amanda Knox walks free because she had a good PR firm, because her family hired a fancy Italian lawyer, because the U.S. media, especially the liberal media, jumped on the Amanda Knox bandwagon, and there was tremendous pressure put on the Italian court. And Rudy Valentino, her lover, with his little dinky bracelet, that he says, Amanda and I, we want to be free, and I'm taking the bracelet off, he says during court. He's off. But the guy from the Ivory Coast, the black man, he's not off. He sits in a jail. The media won't advocate his cause. The media won't stand there and promote his cause. No, he's an African. Let him sit in jail. But no. The glitzy girl from Seattle, she's now talking about a book contract. She's now talking about going on reality TV and being paid $1 million to give, quote, her side of the story. But Meredith Kircher, she's dead. She's voiceless. She has no lawyer. She has no advocate. She has no PR firm. Her family couldn't organize dozens and dozens of people and spend millions of dollars for a PR firm and a PR campaign. My friends, this was a travesty of justice. And everywhere we now look, where is the justice? Amanda Knox is free. Casey Anthony is free. Michelle Obama travels around like a tin pot Empress. 500,000 now, we find out from just her recent trip to Africa, along with her kids, her niece, her nephew, makeup artist, hairstylist. That's not counting food, lodging, forget all that. Secret Service, forget all that. My friends, we now see that feminism has reached its logical end. It calls for the empowerment of women, and now women are becoming just as savage as men used to be. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Don in Houston. Don, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thanks for having me on. I agree with you 1,000% about Casey Anthony. I agree with you 1,000% about Amanda. You made a very interesting statement. For now, in recent times, the country turned on its head. We reward the guilty and we punish.
Don, we've lost you. I don't know if you're on a cell phone or whatever, but Don, we can't hear you. Let's go to our next caller, Terry in Wisconsin. Terry, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Mr. Cooner. Don't we live in interesting times? I can't even imagine. I don't keep up on all these cases of this and that and the next thing of murders and what have you, but I agree with you. It is, to a certain extent, it is the feminism that's the taking away the cojones of the men that is leading to a lot of problems. However, I want to go on to another subject, and I want to talk about how I'm grieving about the loss of Steve Jobs. What a strange and sad thing to lose a prime mover when we are having these horrible protests in New York City. These protesters are the antithesis of what Steve Jobs was. He took his life, and he was just Steve Jobs, just a nothing. And he built it, and he used his mind, and he created, and he made, and he subdued the earth with his mind, just like Ronald Reagan did when he came from nothing. And he...
No, you nailed it, Terry. He was a rags-to-riches story. It is the quintessential American story. It's why I love America. It's why I left Canada to come to America. This is the land of the free. This is the land of opportunity. And Steve Jobs was a walking, living embodiment of the American dream. He was also a walking, living repudiation of those communist socialist thugs. And as I pointed out earlier, I don't want to seem like a broken record here. They're using iPads. They're using iPods. They're using iPhones. Everything that Steve Jobs created, they're using. They're so stupid. They're so brainwashed. They're so damaged by drug use and too much television and video games, they can't even see their nose. They can't even see what they're holding in their hands. And so go to North Korea, go to Soviet Russia, go to communist China, go to communist Cuba. See what it's like to have a state control run the economy. See what it's like to have socialism invade every aspect of your life. There's no Steve Jobs there. They all fled. Many of them came to America. And there's another aspect about Steve Jobs. I don't want to get into it too much, but he suffered from pancreatic cancer. My mother died of pancreatic cancer. And the other story about Steve Jobs is not just the incredible success, the incredible testimony to the human spirit and to human ingenuity and to human creativity, but also something else that I saw with my own mother. When your time is up, your time is up. In the end, we're all creatures of God. And God ultimately determines when we come and when we go. And you look at Steve Jobs, all of his money, all of his wealth, all of his fame, all of his power couldn't save him from his pancreatic cancer. And I saw my mother suffer with it. She battled it for years the way Steve Jobs did. And I saw what it did to her. Her skin getting yellow, the toxins building up in her system, her inability to eventually eat, to even taste food, to even drink, and enjoy a fresh glass of water or a glass of milk. That was all robbed from her, piece by piece. I wish pancreatic cancer on no man or no woman, even my worst enemy. So in the end, what this shows to me is what our founding fathers understood. We are created in the image and likeness of God, and we are created to serve Him and to love Him and to fulfill our calling on this earth. That's why we're born free. That's why our government is free. That's why our founding fathers cherished freedom. You are free to do good or to do bad, to live up to your calling or to abandon your calling. But in the end, we are ultimately frail. We are ultimately limited. We are not gods. And this is the evil of socialism, of all of its evils, the envy, the class warfare, the poverty, the destruction, the hatred, the murder. It worships a false god. That's the evil of socialism. It believes that you can have heaven on earth. That if you just get rid of the rich, or you just get rid of the Jews, or you just get rid of private property, or you just get rid of businessmen, or you just get rid of peasants, in the end, there will be utopia. But there is no utopia. There's only one utopia, and that's in heaven. And this is what our founding fathers understood. And the more we stray from our Christian roots, our biblical roots, our capitalist roots, the more we become diminished as a nation. We are becoming more like the rest of the world. That's why we're getting poorer. That's why you see these women committing murders. That's why you see these protesters on the streets. That's why you see us losing our credit rating, destroying our dollar, seeing high unemployment. My friends, we are no longer a godly nation. We are no longer a free nation. We must return to the Constitution. We must return to our Judeo-Christian roots as our founding fathers urged us from George Washington on, or else we will lose everything. So my thoughts and prayers tonight are with the Jobs family. And in particular, I know what it's like to lose someone from pancreatic cancer. I know the battle that is waged. And I'll never forget the last conversation I had with my mother. She battled the cancer for 5 years. I was there with her alone in the hospital room, on the hospital bed. And she was fighting and fighting and fighting because she loved life so much. She fled communist Eastern Europe. And I said to her, Ma, soon you're going to join your mother and your father and your sisters and your brother in heaven. You have put up a magnificent fight. It's time to put down your sword. You gave us 5 years more. You saw your grandchildren be born. I had conversations with you that I will remember for the rest of my life, and I will pass on to my own children. You are a wonderful mother. You are a wonderful wife. You are a wonderful grandmother. May God bless you, and it's time for you to go. And literally the next day, she went. My friends, I don't care who you are. Every day can be your last day. Live it to the fullest. But I am telling you, Steve Jobs is a great American. Look at the jobs that Jobs created. Look at the wealth that Jobs created. Look at the prosperity that Jobs created. And look at that con man in the White House. That's all. And you see the difference. It's a tale of two Americas. Which one do you choose? Let's go to David in Virginia. David, quickly, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, pal. Thanks for filling in for the great one. And, man, you're breaking my heart with that story. I lost a beautiful mother-in-law with the same pancreatic cancer. I mean, great Scots. I'll get to my point about Sarah Palin. I'm glad she stepped down, or stepped out, rather. And now she can throw her considerable weight around to whoever the candidate is. And, by the way, I just got an email that she will be in Lynchburg Saturday, and so will Herman Cain. Wouldn't that be a great thing to see both of them on a podium?
Well, David, let me tell you what I'm hearing. Perry now is going to be under a lot of pressure in the next couple of debates. And you're going to hear, you heard it here first, and mark my words. If Perry continues to bomb at these presidential debates, he can raise all the money he wants. I know he hauled in $17 million now in the latest quarter. If he continues to bomb in those debates, Herman Cain will catapult over Perry, and he will become the Tea Party contender and the Tea Party champion. And if Perry continues to fall, Sarah Palin may come out and endorse Cain. And if Cain gets the full backing and support of the Tea Party movement, you will see a head-to-head showdown between Cain and Romney. And if it comes down solely to Cain and Romney, I said it before and I'll say it again, he is the black Barry Goldwater. Nobody thought Goldwater would win the nomination in 64. Cain will beat Romney in a one-on-one face-off. You heard it right here first on the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. We'll be right back after this break.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Brett in North Carolina, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. The Constitution says that it is a pursuit of happiness. It does not mean that it's guaranteed, but you have to work for it. And that's basically all I have to say. With all the trouble that's going on now, people have forgot.
No, you nailed it. Look, it was the Declaration of Independence. But no, you're right. This is what is unique about America. In most parts of the world, people assume that life is utterly miserable. It's wretched. It's poor. It's brutal. It's short, brutish, and nasty, as Thomas Hobbes put it. In America, this is the only country in the world, you can actually pursue happiness. You could maybe, if you live your life correctly, be happy. We have perverted that over the last 40 years. We think we're guaranteed, we're entitled to be happy. This is what is causing all of the misery around us. So you have students, they're entitled to an A. You have people, they're entitled to a job. People are entitled to a college education, to a car, to a home. These protesters are now on the streets. No. They're now entitled to be given social programs and welfare and food stamps and a home and a job and a high standard of living. And they want it all and they want it now. Well, I'm sorry. The world doesn't work that way. And so this is what we once understood. What was special about America? People don't understand this. It's not that you have poverty. Poverty is everywhere in the world. It's that here you actually have wealth. Here you can actually be part of the middle class and maybe even the upper class and the rich if you work hard enough, if you sacrifice, if you're determined to succeed and you play by the rules. This is what's made America the most exceptional nation in the history of the world. My friends, capitalism is economic freedom. Economic freedom and political freedom, they go hand in hand. It is the essence of the American way of life. This is why Obama, when he was a young student, I keep saying this to people, when he was a young student, he was part of a Marxist-Leninist group in university. I interviewed students that knew him, that were part of that group. I'll tell you what they told me. They said Barry. He was known as Barry then. He wasn't Barack. He was Barry. Barack only came later. Barry kept saying that we have to overthrow and destroy the capitalist system. And what is the key to overthrowing capitalism? It is to pass nationalized health care. Why? Because if you have socialized medicine, you have what you have in Western Europe. The middle class, the base of America, the backbone of America, the engine of America, the strength of America becomes addicted to government. They now become a serf of the state. Because what's more important outside of your soul? What is the most important thing in your life? It's your body. It's your health, your wife's health, your husband's health, your child's health, your children's health. If the government controls that, it controls you. You are no longer free. You are no longer a freeborn citizen as the founding fathers wanted. You're now a subject. You're now a serf of the government. And so he said the key to implementing a socialist revolution was to pass nationalized health care. That's why he rammed it down the throats of Congress. My friends, Obama, George Soros, the Occupy Wall Street movement, they are part of a communist plot, and it's about time we expose them. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Good and God bless you. Savage.